D-Mace Vingen and Donick 1025. The game? Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, David Janes here with you. Willie Donick will join us in a little bit. He's traveling to Philadelphia with the Nashville Predators, who will take on the Philadelphia Flyers tomorrow. So he will join us probably starting at the top of the second hour.
Rough one last night.
We'll get to that. We will get to that. I have some thoughts
about
the local professional hockey team, and they aren't good. The sun is starting to shine after it rained all day. I hope everybody is having a wonderful Wednesday. Anytime I hear, I've told this story on the air, Derek Mason, but anytime I hear about the city of Philadelphia, I think about this one time more than 10 years ago before I moved to Nashville. I was living in Arlington, Virginia, just outside of Washington, D.C., and there was a grocery store right next to my apartment building. So as I was walking home with my groceries, a tub of Philadelphia cream cheese fell out of the bag. And I didn't notice it. And an older gentleman picked it up, hollered at me, walked over, handed it to me. And he looked at it and he said, "Philadelphia, huh?" And I said, "Yeah. The city of brotherly love." And I said, "That's right." And he says, "You know what I call it?" "What's that?" "The city of brothers getting mugged." And then he just walks away.
He didn't say anything
nope.
after that?
Just handed me cream cheese and went on his way.
Well, there you go. And it stuck with you.
It has. All these years later, more than a decade later, I have no idea why I remember that so vividly. But that's a story for another time. So, as Derek, what are you doing over there?
I like to get all this stuff. You know, I got a bunch. I'm like Fred Sanford over here. You know that. It's just like I got stuff everywhere, man.
Derek,
good thing Willie is not in his regular seat right now because I got stuff all over the table.
Derek comes in here like a doomsday prepper. He comes in with all sorts of food and he's got a glass there for some reason. All of these contraptions on his computer.
I'm ready, man. I'm ready for that day, whenever it comes.
Hope I'll always remember the day Derek Mason once showed up here with like four cupcakes and didn't offer any of them to the rest of us and just ate them all.
It was three.
Okay.
And
sorry.
I offer food all the time.
I thought y'all would say,
"Hey, you want some?"
You do usually offer us your food, but not those cupcakes. But I digress. The Tennessee Titans are preparing to take on the LA Chargers on Sunday. If I am not mistaken, the Titans' final game before their bye week. So we will all be granted a week-long reprieve of having to watch the Tennessee Titans. But they have one more game left, if I'm remembering the schedule correctly, against the LA Chargers. And before practice, it was reported that six Titans would not practice. Jeffrey Simmons, Calvin Ridley, Arden Key, Xavier Woods, Blake Hance, and Dan Moore Jr. Oh, and Daryl Baker. That's a lot of players.
Yeah, you know.
That's actually seven, but the headline says six. Come on, Jim Wyatt.
Come on.
Nevertheless.
Don't cheat it. Don't cheat the system.
Nevertheless, it's bad.
This is what happens when you're a bad team for some reason. You start occurring injuries. A lot quicker than everybody else for whatever reason. It just seems to happen that way. I haven't been a part of a bad team that wasn't injured all the time or wasn't injured that particular year. It's a double whammy for them because not only is the roster not good, the good players they do have are getting hurt. And then the bad players are getting hurt as well. What does that leave you with? Pretty much nothing. So this is where the Titans are at. It's going to get, I think, unfortunately, Adam, because the NFL and any other major league sports, when you start dealing with consecutive games and the wear and tear, this is a sport. It's a war of attrition. And unfortunately, this thing will get worse, I believe, before it gets better. Because guys are going down, and who do they have to back them up? Nobody, really. So this thing may get, we always said, can it get worse? Yeah, it can. And it just may.
The Chargers, by the way, are favored by 9.5.
I'm surprised it's not more.
Well,
the Colts were favored by 14.
And the odds makers were underselling it 14 and a half. The Titans lost by 24.
Somewhere around there.
Yikes. It's bad out there, guys. It's bad out there. Thank your lucky stars that Vanderbilt football has a team that's playing games with actual stakes. And we will get to Vanderbilt more today, tomorrow, and Friday ahead of their matchup against the Texas Longhorns. Another huge matchup for the Commodores on the road this weekend. Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow will join us at 5. Silly underdog picks at 5:20. But let's start with the Nashville Predators. And I regret to inform all of you that the Titans may not be the only team in our city that is, to borrow Cam Ward's term, ass. The Predators are, at the very least, ass adjacent.
I didn't know there was such a thing.
There is now. The Predators lost 5-2 last night to the Tampa Bay Lightning to wrap up their five-game homestand with 2 wins and 3 losses. And if you watched the game last night, the Predators were mostly uncompetitive against the Tampa Bay Lightning.
It was a sloppy game.
It was not a pretty game for the home team. And although the Predators' record so far this season is better than their record this time last season when they got off to an 0-5 start and never recovered, I just don't have a lot of hope. I just don't have a lot of hope for the Predators. The worst thing you can be in any sport is bad and boring. That is a deadly combination. If you're going to be bad, at least be entertaining while also being bad. I often use the example of the Washington Commanders, or their, you know, what they used to be known as. When I was living in the Washington, D.C. area, they were bad, but it was also a train wreck every single week. And they were more entertaining when they were bad than when they were good. And the Predators, they can't score. They've been held to 2 goals or fewer 8 times in 11 games. 8 times in 11 games. That is the most in the NHL. And it really should be 9, because in one of the games where the Predators scored more than 2 goals, 2 of them were empty netters. So they scored 2 goals against the goalie and then tacked on 2 empty netters. So it was technically 4, but let's call it 8.5. It's just, I don't know what more this team can do to get better. The process has improved a little bit defensively. It's about the same offensively in terms of the quality of their scoring chances and all of those things, those fancy stats I like to bring up. It's more or less the same as it was a year ago. But here's the thing that bothers me the most, Derek. It would be one thing if the Predators were bad on purpose. If they were a team that was trying to be bad, that was playing a lot of young players in tough situations so that those young players could take their lumps and the team could get back into the draft lottery and draft another young player and you know, in order to rebuild that way. The sad part is the Predators are bad, but they're not trying to be bad. The Predators want to win. The Predators want to be competitive. And they're this bad. That's the sad part. That's the part I have a hard time reconciling. That Barry Trotz, we have him on the show every Tuesday. Another great interview with Barry Trotz yesterday. If you missed it, you can find it wherever you listen to your podcasts. We have Barry Trotz on the show every week. He wants the team to be a threat in the Western Conference. I don't know how you can watch this team through 11 games and think they have any chance of doing that. So that's the worst part. The worst part is they're not trying to be bad, and yet they're bad.
Yeah, they are. This is a team for the first 2 periods. I don't know what they were doing, honestly. You know, They were losing the puck. It just seemed like sloppy play. They turned it on in the third period, yes, but it was a little bit too late, I think, at that point. But this team, kind of sort of like the Titans. I don't think they're a bad roster like the Titans are. I think they have a good roster. But like the Titans, they can't find a way to put it together. They're not playing cohesive hockey. It doesn't seem like everybody's working together like they were in the third period. So they got to find a way. And listen, this is not a problem that we didn't see last year. Is the record better this year, like you said? Yes. But we're still seeing some of the same problems that they had last year. So will they get this fixed? I don't know. Hopefully they do. Hopefully it's early enough in the season that, you know, they can, you know, turn this thing around or start playing better hockey. But the way they played last night, you're not going to win too many games when you basically don't play the first two periods and then try to turn it on in the third period. And the game's pretty much, they have control of the game pretty much.
And it's led to a lot of Predators fans bringing up the coach. Scott from Shelbyville on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com says, Bruno's got to go, and we should have made Tampa take Steven Stamkos back, stuffed him in the baggage compartment of the Lightning team plane. And we'll talk about Steven Stamkos here in a little bit. But I sat here nearly a year ago and took up an hour explaining why the Predators should fire Andrew Brunette. And my reasoning at the time was, it is proven that teams that fire their coaches in the NHL get a bump in the standings after making a change. Remember, Willie Donick accused me of cherry picking because I only looked at 1 year. So I said, here's 10. Take that, Willie. And my hypothesis was confirmed. But I don't know what else the team can do. They have no center depth. And here's one thing that I thought about last night. Mm-hmm. So last night, the reason why the Predators game was at 6:45 was because it was the frozen frenzy in the NHL. All 32 teams were in action. So I watched most of the Predators game, and I kept eyes on some of the other games going on. I watched Connor Bedard, who was the number one overall pick a few years ago, record his first career hat trick last night for the Chicago Blackhawks. I was later watching a game involving the Utah Mammoth and the Edmonton Oilers. And I saw Logan Cooley, who, by the way, signed an 8-year, $80 million contract today. Logan Cooley, 21 years old, has 8 goals this season. And I thought to myself, which god do I have to pray to so that the Predators can get one of those players on their team? That's also another part of this. The Predators, they're old. I know that there are some young players sprinkled in the lineup, but by and large, they're old. All of the players that are producing, and there aren't many of them, but the players who are producing are old. And as I said, the saddest part is the Predators are not trying to be bad, and yet they are bad. And it actually may be a blessing in disguise once again. It was a blessing in disguise last season, mm-hmm, when they were so bad they were able to pick in the top 5 of the NHL draft. And maybe they'll end up back there again this coming summer. But that's not a bad thing. I just wonder, Derek, if there comes a point where Barry Trotz is going to have to look in the mirror and say, I know I want our team to be competitive, but this roster is incapable of being competitive, and we need to take a step back. I have maintained this. I wrote an article about this like 3 years ago, mm-hmm, with the headline, "The Predators will not get better until they allow themselves to get worse." And I stand by that. That was after they were swept out of the first round by the Colorado Avalanche. That was years ago. Mm-hmm. So I just don't know how you can watch this team not score, and they've gotten a little bit better defensively. I'm not going to take that away from them. But that's not what excites people. They want to see an entertaining product. The score of the Chicago-Ottawa game last night was 7-3. That was fun. Now, not every game is going to be like that, but that was fun. Try to remember what the score of the Utah-Edmonton game last night was. It was 6-3, Edmonton. Fans want goals. Fans want to see players who can score goals. The Predators don't have any of those players right now. I mean, Philip Forsberg scored a sharp-angle goal near the end of the game to make things interesting for a second. But I think the Predators are going to need to have some really difficult conversations, because what we're watching right now is uncompetitive, uninspiring, flat out boring hockey. I love hockey. Mm-hmm. I will watch the Predators. One, because it's part of my job, and two, because I love hockey. I love hockey. But this team is so hard to watch. It's not exciting. It would be one thing if they were losing, but it was back and forth, and it was exciting, but this is not exciting. I know that the team made some changes to how they approach the game. It's just not working either way. So it's difficult. I just think that the Predators have avoided the true rebuild for so long. And the longer they attempt to convince themselves that they don't need it, the bigger hole they're going to dig for themselves, the longer it's going to take for them to be competitive again. And when I say competitive, I mean a team that can actually win a championship.
But don't you think they are, even though, yes, they're not trying to lose, but they're going out there and losing. But don't you think they can still get what you want them to have even while trying to win? Because obviously they're trying to win now, and what's happening? They're not winning. They tried to win last year. What happened? They didn't win. They end up getting a top five pick. This year, if it continues to go that way, they will get another top five pick. So he doesn't have to come out and say we're doing a rebuild. The record is telling him, listen, whether you want to do it or not, you're going to have a top five pick. You had one last year. You may have one this year, and you may have one next year. So even if you don't want to rebuild, it's going to happen.
The rebuild is happening to them.
Exactly.
That's,
they're not initiating it. Right. It's happening to them.
And that's not great.
No,
that's
not
great that it's happening to them. They should be proactive. Mm-hmm. They should be trying to do this. It shouldn't be happening to them.
But don't you think Barry, I believe that if and when Barry gets to that point, then he's going to make a decision. He's going to either, if we ain't winning, we got to get another coach. We got to do something to shake this thing up. I think if they don't, then they leave him no choice. But because he's always said, I'm going to do what's best for the team, not an individual. If I do what's best for the team and it benefits you, then great. But I am going to do what's best for this organization. So that tells me that, okay, he's given him some leeway. The leeway was this year or parts of this year. And if it continues to go the way it has been going, they haven't been able to score, then I'm going to make a change, because I'm not that arrogant or bullheaded or stubborn to think that I'm going to see anything different after a year and a half.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll take your thoughts on the Predators, who lost 5-2 last night to the Tampa Bay Lightning, ending their five-game homestand 2-3-0. They are back in action tomorrow night on the road against the Philadelphia Flyers. 615-737-1025. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service.
I think of everything all the time. To say it hasn't, it would be a lie. But at the same time, I try to prepare for everything. I'm not looking to do anything there. I do make sure that Stephen can make his mark here. I mean, that was one of the reasons that I wanted to get Stephen, is that, you know, I knew it was going to be a tough process coming from Tampa Bay, where he was drafted, where he lived, where he's going to probably retire. And there was a lot of bonds and a lot of successes and a lot of, you know, water under the bridge in terms of his time there. And then I knew there was going to be an adjustment period. And then I was hoping that Stammer could really make his mark here.
That was Predators GM Barry Trotz on our show yesterday discussing Steven Stamkos. When we had Sportsnet NHL insider Elliot Freeman on the program last week, he said that he wonders if at some point Barry Trotz and Steven Stamkos will need to sit down and discuss their respective futures, meaning Stamkos' future and the Predators' future, and whether they are aligned. And I thought that was an interesting response from Barry Trotz, asking him if that is something he has considered. Steven Stamkos has not been good. A lot of Predators players have not been good. But Stamkos stands out. He has one goal this season. He is shooting 4% on the season. That will bounce back. But even then, I just haven't noticed him on the ice very much. And sometimes I wonder if he would rather be somewhere where he has another chance to win. And I don't know how you're going to get somebody to take Steven Stamkos off your hands. He has an $8 million cap hit. You can retain half of it. He has a full no movement clause, which means that he has the total authority to accept a trade or nix a trade. So we'll see what happens there. But again, as I said before, as I'm watching this team play, this team that can't score goals, again, the Predators have scored two or fewer goals 8 times in 11 games. That leads the NHL. On paper, this team should be able to score more, but they just can't. And I don't really have any other way to put it. One texter on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, yes, last night was not desirable, but you talk like the Predators aren't competing. We won 2 games in a row against top teams, and we're right there with Dallas before last night. This, Derek, This is dangerous thinking. No disrespect to this texter who did not leave their name. This is dangerous thinking. We won 2 games in a row against top teams, and we're right there with Dallas before last night. Sure. But I'm not just looking at the past few games. I'm looking at the big picture. I want Predators fans to have a hockey team that they know can compete in April, May, and June. And there was a time, not too long ago, that the Predators had a team that could compete in April, May, and June. So sure, they beat the Canucks. They beat the Kings in a 9-round shootout. They lost by 1 to the Dallas Stars. The Predators led that game 2-0, by the way, if I recall correctly. That's great. That's dangerous thinking. Well, we were competitive in these few games. I'm looking at the big picture here. I don't see a team that is competitive. And I will state this once again. My definition of competitive is not, hey, can you make the playoffs where everything can happen? No. My definition is, can you legitimately win the Stanley Cup this season? For the Predators, the answer is no. And I don't know when that's going to happen again. Brian on our text line says, with Trotz's history, the fans have given him a lot of slack. But at what point do we look at him and say this product he's put on the ice isn't working and something needs to change? Am I crazy for thinking this way? No, Brian, you aren't crazy for thinking that way. One thing, Derek, that I have found fascinating since Barry Trotz returned to Nashville is when Barry Trotz returned to Nashville, when the Predators announced that David Poile would be retiring, We all had the warm and fuzzies, right? Mm-hmm. Who doesn't love Barry Trotz? He is a great man. He is a great ambassador of this organization and the city. I always enjoy my conversations with Barry Trotz. I heard somebody say once that if you don't like Barry Trotz, there's something wrong with you.
I'm sure.
Not him. And I completely agree with that. Barry Trotz could have an engaging conversation with a houseplant. Like, that's I have a lot of respect for Barry Trotz. But the one thing that I always found interesting was what's going to happen when, if or when, the team starts struggling. All of those warm and fuzzies are going to go away. I thought those warm and fuzzies were sort of like this built-in force field mm-hmm. for Barry Trotz at the beginning. If things don't go well right away, people will cut him some slack because he's Barry Trotz. But I think that force field has eroded. And I think Predators fans are wondering, what are we doing here, Barry? So, Brian, I don't think you are crazy for thinking that. Mm-hmm. Another texter, Another texter, Neil, says, if Bruno is let go, which coach is going to come in and get this team to score goals and start winning games? I don't see any coach coming in and winning with this roster. That may be true. Mm-hmm. But, once again, it is proven that teams perform better after making coaching changes. You saw it last year. For example, the Boston Bruins fired Jim Montgomery early in the season. The St. Louis Blues hired Jim Montgomery, and they were, I think, one of the best teams in the league from the time he was hired by the Blues through the end of the regular season. So it happens. But I get the texter's point. I get mm-hmm. Neil's point. It doesn't matter if you hire Pete DeBoer, who's still out there, or another coach. Are you going to get this team to score more goals? I don't know, but you got to try something. Let's go to Rob on – it says Rob from a car phone. Hello, Rob from a car phone. Thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Okay, thanks very much. So Barry Trotz might be as sweet as pumpkin pie, but who cares? Like, who cares if he's a sweet, nice guy? I want to see a winning team. And last night when I watched, I was amazed because I was so excited to see Crispy delivering the starting lineup. And I saw about as much heart in that dressing room as nothing. Like, there was no jump. There was no what's missing? The heart of this team is absent. Their identity is absent. Don't tell me they won two in a row. They were lucky to win those two games. One of them, they were outshot 2-1. If it wasn't for Saros, it would have been a very, very different story. This team needs a new coach. And yes, Stammer needs to sit down with Stammer and move him along. He's not the right guy for the team right now. But bottom line is, we need to bring in some heart, some guts, some gumption. Something is missing, and I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you, Rob.
The fear with this, because listening to the caller, and he talked about Crispy speech, and he didn't feel that watching it. It was no life in the room. The fear now is you losing the locker room. Because last year, when Barry was making this decision, what did he say? He said, I had to talk to the players, and I had to talk to a few of them again. So if you're not getting like that energy and that thing you need within a locker room to sort of get you out of, you know, whatever funk you're in, a lot of times you start to lose the faith. The players start losing faith in you. The players start thinking, we tried everything, and it still ain't working. And some of it is the players, but some players don't look at it that way. They look at it as, the head coach, he's not put me in a position to win, things are not going consistently well the way we need it to. They don't believe in what he's preaching anymore. I'm not saying it's happening now, but that's the fear, that they stop believing in what you're coaching and preaching every day. The minute that happens, you see a bad team become worse. That's what I'm worried about with the Tennessee Titans, and that's what I'm worried about with the Nashville Predators, that if you don't start winning consistently, those players, they will lose faith in, or could potentially lose faith in what you're saying to them, because they look at it as, okay, we're doing all these things that you're asking us to do, but we're not getting anything from it. We're not getting wins. Things are not looking better. And then that's when, hopefully, by that time, or even before it happens, Barry steps in and he makes a change. Because you never want to make a change where you've completely, at a locker room, you've completely lost the locker room. What you want to try to do is nip it in the bud, meaning do what you need to do with the head coach. And I'm not saying he needs to fire him right now, but I'm saying you don't want to get to a point where now the players start questioning what's going on.
So the texter who sent in the text about the team competing has responded. Sure, dangerous thinking, but games are still a blast, like the 9-round shootout and a 4-4 game on the Saturday night. Unfortunately, we have games like last night, but oh God. But in 2017, we were the last team in, and look what happened. I don't like to use this term. I really don't. I try not to use this word in my everyday life.
Waybackism? I'm going to call it waybackism.
That's not even the word. I don't like to use this word. I hate that line of thinking. Well, in 2017, wake up. It's 2025.
That's waybackism.
Yes, it's 2025. I was there in 2017. I covered every game of that playoff run. It was a blast. I know that there have been examples of teams that sneak into the playoffs and do great things. And I swear to God, if one of you sends me something about the St. Louis Blues going worst to first, I swear to God.
Please send it. Yes, send
please
it.
Please do it. Please do it.
I swear to God, you will be banned from this program.
Do it. I'm not banning you. Do it.
I won't ban you either.
You will be banned from this program. Oh, man. Ricky on our text line says they have Luke Richardson sitting back. They are waiting. The staff is full of guys fired all over and never proven. They need a heart and soul Tutu type of guy, Jordan Tutu type of guy, who will run someone and light up the building. They are missing a spark plug guy, a couple of centers, and a proven coach. Anything else? And that's on the GM. Barry Trotz is a great guy, but NHL teams plummet quickly, and they are headed straight downhill. And that was the caller's point as well about this team not having enough heart. I think there are guys in that locker room who care. Mm-hmm. I think Ryan O'Reilly is trying his hardest to get this team to play hard. I also think that Ryan O'Reilly is the Predators version of Jeffrey Simmons. Mm-hmm. I think Ryan O'Reilly is the player who can fetch you something of value in a trade. But if you recall, last year it was reported, and Barry Trotz essentially confirmed it, that he was treating Ryan O'Reilly like he had trade protection in his contract, although he does not have trade protection in his contract. I really like Ryan O'Reilly. I don't think the Predators should operate that way. The same way the Titans are saying, Jeffrey Simmons is off limits. I'm not saying that you're going to get this huge haul for Ryan O'Reilly, but he's a proven winner. He's won the Stanley Cup with those Blues, and people are texting in. I'm not going to read those texts. People are texting in. He won the Stanley Cup with the Blues. He's been a Conn Smythe Trophy winner, which means he was the MVP of the playoffs. He's a center, and we know it's hard to get those. I think you could get a decent return for Ryan O'Reilly. So I think if this thing goes south, I think Ryan O'Reilly needs to go somewhere else.
But you said that more than likely they won't be able to get back a lot or much in a trade for Ryan O'Reilly. So, because I look at it from this standpoint, because it's not like football. I like to sort of connect the dots with football and every other sport.
Right.
But unlike football, if I trade away a guy, get a second round pick, more than likely that second round guy is going to play for me right now.
Right.
It's not like that in hockey. So why give away Riley? And yeah, you get a pick back, but you may not see this guy on the ice for another 6-7 years.
I know that's part of the problem, right? But you're trying to stockpile assets. Mm-hmm. You can also use those assets to trade for NHL players. You can take that draft pick you get for Ryan O'Reilly and use it to trade for maybe a younger version of Ryan O'Reilly, for example. 615-737-1025. We will continue to take your thoughts on the Predators. One texter says, a town that will remain nameless. LOL.
Yes.
Don't you do it. Don't you dare. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, Vanderbilt is taking on Texas this weekend. But there was a report over the weekend linking someone on the sidelines this weekend with the Tennessee Titans. And we will get to that coming up next. 615-737-1025. DVD is presented by Bax Homeworks, which transforms kitchens, bathrooms, and living spaces into places you can't wait to come home to. Get a free estimate now at BAXHomeworks.com.
I'd love to touch on this, so bear with me for a second, because it really pisses me off that one person can make a report that in turn the entire media sports world runs with as factual. To the point of my agency and my agents have to put a statement out that they never have done. Historically, CAA, Jimmy Sexton, and Ed Manowitz have never do that. But I had to do that to protect my locker room and my team. And I thought it was absolutely ridiculous. I thought it was completely unprofessional of that person to put that report out. And the fact that everybody ran with it is borderline embarrassing for the media. And I respect what you guys do. I really do. And everybody else. But the fact that everybody ran that as truth is really embarrassing. Okay, so I've got a small circle when I make decisions on what I do and what I don't do. And nobody would speak on my behalf without me knowing. And so where that report came from, I'd love to talk to that person because it's absolutely ridiculous.
That was Texas coach Steve Sarkisian last weekend responding to a report by The Athletic's Diana Russini. Now, keep in mind, Texas is hosting Vanderbilt on Saturday morning, 11 a.m. kickoff. Diana Russini reported last weekend, quote, I'm told that representatives for Texas coach Steve Sarkisian have let NFL decision makers know that he would be interested in potential head coach openings, including the Titans. So that was Diana Russini over the weekend. As Sarkisian said in that clip, his agency released a statement, quote, any reports regarding communications on coaching opportunities with NFL teams are patently false and wildly inaccurate. Sark is solely focused on coaching the University of Texas football team. Now, Derek, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. You have one non-negotiable when it comes to the next head coach of the Tennessee Titans. No college coaches. So I would imagine that Steve Sarkisian would not be on your list. Although Sarkisian does have 2 years of NFL coaching experience as the offensive coordinator for the Atlanta Falcons in 2017 and 2018.
He was, I think he coached quarterbacks with the Raiders in 04. That was way back when. Don't worry about it.
Those two seasons, the Falcons had respectable offenses, top half of the league in points per game. And as a college coach, he's been successful with Texas and Washington and USC. And he was the offensive coordinator at Alabama as well. So I know that Sarkisian is probably off limits to you, but what do you make of that report that he has firmly denied?
I mean, it's part of being a head coach at a Power Five conference at a school that probably has the biggest wallets in all of college football in Texas. So when people start to get fired, especially you know, the firings we've seen LSU, Penn State, Florida, three to name. His name is going to be mentioned. Now, I am with him. Like, listen, don't to say my name may be in the pool. Yes. But to say you heard it from one of my people and throw that out there as if it's truth, then no, that's not what I'm cool with. But if you just want to, you know, hey, this is a name that you might want to look out for. Steve Sarkisian. You know, he's coached in the NFL. He's been an OC. He's been a quarterback coach. That's cool. But to make it seem like people close to him says he's interested in these jobs. He may be, he may not be, I don't know. But I understand how that could upset, you know, the coach, because not it probably truly doesn't upset him, but now you got your players thinking. It messes up recruiting. The minute that story comes out, it messes up recruiting, because what happens? Everybody wants to know, well, is he staying? So that five-star quarterback or receiver you have, he may think you're leaving now. Now he may take a trip to Georgia, Alabama, Michigan State, somewhere, because he thinks you're leaving. So I understand Sark when he says that's irresponsible. Don't do that. But if you just want to leak his name, like he could be, then okay, that's cool. Because Clark Lee's name was thrown out there as a potential hire for an NFL team or another college out there.
Ben in Cumberland City on our text line says, watch Brucini's statement on that. Her body language shows she got caught making stuff up. She's getting flamed on X, I think. It's funny. I think she was on the Dan Le Batard show. She's on there a lot, so I guess she addressed it. I haven't heard the clip. But I'm also wondering if Sarkisian would be interested in the NFL. Things haven't gone incredibly well for the Longhorns this season. They've only lost two games, but they were, you know, they lost by a blowout right at the beginning of the season to Ohio State.
Was it a blowout? Ooh. I know Ohio State beat them. Ohio State was the better team. Let's just put it that way. I don't know how many
14 points. It was only 14-7. It was only 14-7. But for some reason I thought it might be a blowout. But Arch Manning's season has been up and down, and now he's concussed. I haven't seen an update. That is important considering Texas is playing Vanderbilt in a few days. So I wonder if maybe if the honeymoon phase is over at Texas, Sarkisian goes, maybe the NFL might be a good place for me to go. One texter says, recruiting incoming freshmen for football is not what it used to be in college football. Now you have to have skill in going to the portal and getting players you need, some kids you recruit. Today is going to jump in the portal in a year and go somewhere else, very likely anyway. I think I got all of that. Mm-hmm. One texter says, LOL, that five-star quarterback ain't visiting Michigan State, Derek.
Stop it. Yes, he is. Don't say that. Yes, he is. He's visiting. But, I mean, listen, Sark wouldn't fit what I want in a head coach.
Even though he has NFL offensive coordinating experience.
Absolutely. I think this team is too entrenched or too stuck in the phase that they're in. This team is not equipped to have a guy that hasn't been a head coach in this league, that it's been 6 years since he's been in the NFL, I think, somewhere around there.
He was the offensive coordinator in 2017 and 2018, so it's been longer than that. In Atlanta.
Almost 10 years. But I just don't think for the Titans, I'm not saying in the NFL, period. I've watched this team closely, and a guy like Sark wouldn't be the guy that I hire. He just wouldn't be. I would go with Vrabel, Tomlin, John Harbaugh, Guy Campbell, guys like that. That has that presence to rally the troops when they're not doing so well. And I don't see Sark as that type of coach, not for the Titans anyway.
It has been brought to my attention that Arch Manning did practice today, but remains in concussion protocol. So he hasn't been cleared, it sounds like, but he did practice today, which I suppose puts him on track to play against Vanderbilt on Saturday. And that will be an interesting quarterback matchup. Arch Manning versus Diego Pavia. I can't think, and we'll dig more into this later this week, but I'm thinking of two quarterbacks from completely different walks of life. Mm-hmm. You have Arch Manning, The Manning legacy is in his veins, right? He's a prodigy. He's supposed to be great. He's a Manning. Mm-hmm. And then you have Diego Pavia, who had to scratch and claw from the JUCO ranks to make it to Vanderbilt. And he's been one of the best stories in college football. So that's a really interesting storyline within the matchup on Saturday.
I wonder, because whether it was, you know, Texas and Arch Manning coming in this week, or if it was, you know, Kennesaw State, when you have a player that has had a concussion and was removed from a game, I've always been a proponent of he does not need to play the next game. He doesn't. No, because my thing is, he's not hit all week. They're being very careful with how they proceed with him. Yeah, he may practice a little bit here and there, but they don't want to, you know, give him too much. And then he doesn't have a regular week. So then you want to throw him out there in the game. I've never been a proponent of this, ever. I don't care who it is. That tells me you don't care about the player. You don't. And I've always said this. If you go out of the game with a concussion, you should have – it should be like you should – you got to practice full go the whole week before we let you back in the game, before we let you play. Like, full go, not, oh, he's going to practice a period over here where it's just throwing the football around, or he's going to go through walkthrough. No, you put on those pads and you go through a whole practice for the whole week, and then that gives me a better idea of how far along are you from that concussion. Not, oh, we're going to keep him inside for a while because he may be sensitive to light. We're not going to put too much stress on him. We're not going to do this. We're going to bring him along slowly and then throw him out there in the game Saturday. And he ends up getting slung around, hit his head again. And what happens to Tua, what happened to him? That's why I'm not a proponent of that, letting him play the next game. I don't care if it was Arch Manning or Diego Pavia. If it was Diego Pavia, I would be saying the same thing.
One texter says, I cannot wait for the Diego hype train to be over.
Why?
It ain't pulling over anytime soon, buddy. Toot, toot.
I'm going to keep that. I'm going to keep putting that coal in the fire.
Actually,
keep putting that coal in the stove.
Actually, I think the train whistle would say, toot, toot. Toot, toot.
That's his hat, right?
Yes. Yeah, hashtag toot, toot, right?
Yeah.
615-737-1025. Toot, toot. That's the Diego Pavia hype train. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick will join us coming up next. We'll keep it in the SEC and talk about the wild coaching carousel that I think is about to get underway in the SEC. 615-737-1025. The MTSU Blue Raiders are not in the SEC, but they will take on Jacksonville State tonight at 6:30. Catch all of the action on Totally Hits 93.3, with coverage also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at TotallyHitsNashville.com.